Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Every generation comes along and we fall as a people further away from the original intent of God, more cracks, till you get to a place where it seems that the foundation or the sidewalk isn't even usable anymore.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Truth seekers, I want you to know that what's coming today, by the heart and the will and the plan of God, is going to hit you right where you live, if not in your own personal family, in the culture that you live in America, even in subcultures like our own hometowns. There are cracks in the foundation of the family. And I've asked friend and brother Corey Callicott to come back in the studio with me today, man. It's good to see you again.
Man, good to be back, man.
Absolutely, man. We got into some stuff last week, and kind of like we mentioned after we finished recording, it comes and goes so quick that 30 minutes is
sure.
over, and it felt like
sure.
we were just getting moving into some things. And but I'm glad to have you back because this is a topic that must be given by the Lord to our families, to our students that are living in issues, family
yes.
issues that they don't understand what's going on
yes.
or what the real true problem is here. And maybe there's some dads out there today, truth seekers, and you've got some issues that you're identifying in your family. Some of it you're seeing coming through you as a husband and a father, and you're looking for direction. And Lord knows that our culture, though they may not recognize the source, is identifying the problem.
Yeah, and family is so big. Family is so big. I mean, you get around the holiday season with your Thanksgiving and your Christmas.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how chaotic life may be through the years, but you get around those times and it's like we all pull together.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, it's a wonderful life. Thank you, Jimmy Stewart. You know,
yeah.
we all have such a wonderful bond. And you know what that, I think that is? I think because we get so close to the original intent of what God planned for us, unity, love, fellowship, relationship around those times.
Our heart cries for it.
Yes,
it longs
we long for that.
It longs for relationship that is wholesome,
yeah.
that is a give and take, that is a positive thing, not a negative thing. I saw something the other day. It was probably on Facebook, I don't know, but it was a deal that said, Can we just have a Thanksgiving meal with the family that will talk to one another?
Amen. How about that?
You know, because as much as we want to get together
yeah.
and have it right.
Right.
There are the complications that come in the room when people come in the room.
You know,
and last week, as we began to build just the intro to this teaching, we started talking about the roles.
Yeah.
And let's be more specific, the God-defined roles.
Right, right. You know, we're talking about family and Thanksgiving. When we get together, my wife's family, it's always a tradition that the old guys and the young guys, the guys get out on the field and they play some football.
Okay.
now with a couple of my daughters, that's not good enough. They want to be out there too. So we bring the big family out there after brunch. We have this football game. But guess what? With football, there's certain roles that are out there, right?
Yeah,
you
got to
have guys
right.
that are linemen. You got to have guys that can run out and catch passes. You got to have the guy. Notice I said the guy who throws the pass. Only one quarterback
right.
per team.
Yeah.
And there's always a toss-up between the uncles. I got a better arm. Well, your arm's old or it's worn out. You can't be the quarterback. You didn't complete any passes last year. But, you know, even in things like that, just fun things around family and sports, there's a defining of the roles, but there's also a striving for roles.
Oh, yeah.
When we relate that to our culture, what we're dealing with in these cracks of the foundation, it's one of a couple of things. It's either a misunderstanding of our roles or it's just a rebellion against the roles.
Mm-hmm.
And those are tough topics to talk about, but instead of branching out on that, we want to focus back in on the original core role of the family that God instituted, that God put in place. And when we find God, when we find his word, when we find his truth, we find what's best.
Amen.
So we're going to take an opportunity again today to look into the home, look into the family, to try to deal with maybe some of these cracks you see, not just in the culture, but even in your own home. And we're going to pick it up right there.
Even in your own heart.
Even in your own heart. As you listen today, we put in a new database program at our church. And as you're filling things out and putting people in and putting the David Markham family and the individual in there, it asks you to assign roles.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. It asks you to put in roles so that we can identify the names with the person and the individuals within the family. And as I put some of those in there and put, of course, husband, wife, child, and then there's other specifics you can put in there, parent, children, youth.
Yeah.
One of them says this, head of household. Head of household.
And you can identify which person is that person.
And we can identify. Wow. We can put it in place. So, hey, we can have a little fun. If we think the women wear the pants in a relationship, right, we can call them the head of the household.
Check that box by them, right.
But, you know, when we look to God's word, we don't get that vote.
And that's right.
We don't get that choice. And I want you to be comforted in this. If you're listening out there, Truth Seeker, that's not a bad thing. God knew exactly what he was doing. Let's look back to the scriptures. If you can, turn to Genesis 2 or look this up later as you listen to this broadcast, and let's look at how God set this up in Genesis chapter 2. We talked about he created the man. Then he recognized about the man that the man needed help. And men, we need help.
Yes.
Can we get an amen?
That's right.
We need help. It says he put him in the midst of the garden, but then he said, hey, this guy in verse 18, it's not good that he should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. The Bible talks about the role of the man first, and he mentioned it especially in the New Testament when you look at Ephesians chapter 5. Just jot that down or check it out later. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband, the man is the head of the family. He is the head of the household. Now, we might try to stick that label on anybody just like that database program. I might just confer that to someone. But really, ultimately, when we look at the family, God is the one who gives the roles also. He creates the positions. He fulfills the role. And he has said in his scripture over and over again that the man is to be the head.
Yeah.
Wife, or the woman, he calls, as we say right here, verse 18, he calls the helper. And we left off on this. Our closing thoughts last time was helper. That is not a negative term.
No.
David, that is a great term to be called helper. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hill from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. God is referenced several times in the Psalms in the Old Testament as the help of Israel, our helper. Jesus himself, this is a great passage. I believe it's 17. It's somewhere in the Holy Scripture, what I would call the Holy Spirit job description in John 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And he says this, I will send another helper. And then later on he says the helper. So he's referring not only to the Spirit as our helper, but
to himself.
Himself. Christ himself is our helper. So women of God out there, ladies, listen, when God calls you the helper, that is not a negative term. It is a term that actually God himself, the Trinity themselves, reference back to themselves.
That's right.
Man, what a beautiful picture. What an encouragement. We're not trying to smooth things over. I'm just telling you straight what God says about himself. And he didn't give that title to me as a man.
Yeah.
He didn't give that title to you, David, as a man. He gave it to women as the helper of the relationship. And so let's look at that. The head and the helper. In the worldly fashion, we want to look at, those are two separate entities. They're distinct roles. But if you look at the end of the chapter, let's finish up this chapter 2 right here. At the very end, let's just pick it up, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become, how many? One flesh.
Right.
One flesh. See, the terms, the roles that God gives here in relationship to the family, while they're separate roles, separate persons, if you will, it's determined for unity. They shall become one flesh. And how did God's plan, how did he view his plan here of oneness? And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Perfection.
Yeah.
Completion. fulfillment.
It was good.
The two join together. I always liken that. And there's so much that has to. You got to study Genesis, man. You need to know the first four chapters. So huge as far as understanding who God is, who you are, what salvation looks like. But I liken that unity as a table. You know, most of our table, our woodworking, has a laminate top. But you can't tell that if you just look at it. It just looks like one piece. But what they've taken is a small, thin layer of paper, and they have sealed that, chemically glued that to a piece of hardwood to form a table. Now, it's one table, but it is two pieces, but it is glued so tightly together that the two become one. That is the picture of unity we see that God destined for the family.
Yeah.
And as it says, it's a representation of the Trinity itself. Three persons, yet
one being. When I studied this idea of one flesh, and we see the same idea come back when we talk about being in Christ and
yes.
Christ in us.
Amen.
What this is a vital union. Mm-hmm. And when I think about vital signs, your heart rate, your blood pressure, how important are they to your ability to function?
Right.
Absolutely necessary. It's not... I'll pick it up, I'll do with it or without it. No, you've got to have vital signs within the normal limit to operate correctly. This is a vital
yes.
union.
Yes, you do.
There's vitality that comes through the union. And it's like, well, you used the idea of laminate and the furniture. I was just thinking about taking two liquids and pouring them into the same container.
Right, right.
Now separate those back out again. It's impossible.
Can't do it.
Can't do
can't
it because do it. Now what was two separate, distinct entities has now become one new, separate, and distinct entity.
Therefore, Jesus says in the New Testament, what God has joined together, let
no man
seek to separate. You've heard that at a wedding ceremony, the covenant of marriage that God originated, and that's the reason why. That relationship, that core value of family to reflect the relationship of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Beautiful picture there. Beautiful
yes,
picture
it is.
There. Hey, that's just two chapters of Genesis. God's not done yet. Unfortunately, we know what happens in chapter 3.
Right.
God's plan is thwarted by old Slewfoot, I've heard him call,
yeah.
the accuser of the brethren. Satan himself shows up in chapter 3, and some interesting things to get from that. But this is where the cracks begin.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the cracks of the family. See, because when we leave off at the end of chapter 2, notice what it said again. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Okay.
Then we flip over to chapter 3. And after the fall of man, we find shame, we find fear, we find hiding. We find what I want to refer to as the original cracks in the
foundation
crack. Of the family.
That's exactly what I had in my mind.
The original
yeah.
crack. And where does it come from? I want you to be mindful of this one verse that I want to touch on. Guys, so much meat on the bones. Hey, get in God's word. Seek for truth. Find
Amen.
This out. But look at this. It says, verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, this one verse I want to highlight. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate.
Mm-hmm.
She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What happened with the first family? Why did the crack appear? Now, we could say it was because of the temptation of Satan, but no, that's not the problem. The problem is sin, and the problem wasn't that sin was forced on. The problem, we chose to rebel against God's plan.
Yeah.
But I want you to notice the rebellion here. It was a rebellion of roles. It says, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we find the man and the woman. We open up Genesis 3, and what does it say? Now the serpent was more crafty. And he said to the woman
mm-hmm.
you got to go six verses before you even see the man show up. And you're saying, well, why is it always got to be about the man? I'm not saying it's always about the man, but it is unique here because what happens in verse 6, it says this. Moses records these words, Genesis 3:6, and she gave to her husband, in English, with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sitting right here with you.
Yeah.
You're in my presence. I'm in your presence. In English, that's how we understand that. I believe the author is trying to let us know something here. Growing up, I always saw this picture of, oh, Adam's over here working hard. He's pruning a couple of trees. He's making them look good. He's petting a few animals and helping with their babies and stuff like that, just working hard. And here's the woman just over here talking to a snake, eating the fruit, messing up for everybody.
Yeah.
That's not what the scripture says right here. Hey, read the word, truth seekers. Look what it says. It says she gave to her husband with her. David, here's my question. Where's the man at? When she is talking to a snake?
Yeah.
Where's the man at? He's not fulfilling his role. God said, tend the garden and keep it. The man even said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Well, guess what? The two that became one, now we find somewhat of a separation because he is no longer being the head in this situation. But now what happens? Even look at his comments. When God comes, and God will come, God will correct it. Mm-hmm. When God comes and he presents himself, he asked the man, he said, where are you? In verse 10, he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. Crack. I was naked and I hid myself. Another crack. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you should not eat? The man said, listen, verse 12, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.
Here's
problems.
The blame games.
Blame games there. Going on. Initial blame is what? He don't like the head role. And I'm not talking about himself. He's talking about God. The woman you gave me. God, you set me up.
Yeah.
See, the first crack comes because it's, as David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Yeah.
He's telling on himself.
Yeah, there's a lack of responsibility from the head role.
Sure it is.
I was just thinking, as you said that earlier about and pointed that out, that he was with her. I too, until you just now said that, I'd always had in my mind there was some sort of separation and they weren't together. Here's what I know Paul told, I think, Timothy, speaking of that moment, that the woman was seduced by the serpent, but Adam did it willfully.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Think about what more that says about him. If the Genesis says he was with her and he watched this transpire, even if she was swayed by the words of the serpent, Paul lets us know Adam was not.
Adam was not. That's right.
And so he subverted not taking dominion over the serpent, which he still had at that point.
Yes, God-given.
But also, he laid down his role of the priest and the protector and the king in that union, that dominion, that relationship, and did what he knew they could not do.
The representative rule. That's right. His role that God established with him. And if you look at chapter 2, here's something you'll notice. Again, the word clearly says this, that God said to the man, you shall not eat. He gave the command to the man. We don't find in the text where God relayed that to the woman. Many infer, and I believe this is the case, that the man relayed that to the woman. When she even says, and don't even touch it. Whole other conversation
there. Yeah.
But we don't find where God told that to the woman, but we do find where God told it to the man. So if that's the case, yes, he's not showing dominion over the snake. And here's the other part. He switched the roles. He now took the woman's word over God's word.
Wow.
He took the woman's word over God's word. Not only did he shuck his responsibility to be the representative ruler, to have dominion, to show unity, but now he says, well, yeah, maybe this woman's, maybe it's not that bad. I'll just, she tried it, let me try. And he subverted God's role. Major problems. Folks, this is where the beginning. Yeah, this is where the beginning all took place. Anytime we don't trust God, you better know that the foundation, that is our foundation of faith in God.
Right.
That was their foundation. It's our foundation. When we walk away from that, when we try to build on anything else, that's what we're going to find. A crack forms. And, of course, we see that. They're kicked out of the garden. They're removed. And at the end, here they are separated. Chapter 3. I want you to pick up real quick in chapter 4. Now, I don't know about your relationship with your wife. I know about mine. But usually after we get upset with each other, and there's some disunity, we really don't move in the pattern that we see the scriptures move, because they get kicked out of the garden. Then the next thing you read in chapter 4, now Adam knew his wife Eve.
Yeah.
And she bore him a son. I'm pretty sure, obviously, just for the sake of comic relief, there was a little time that took place here, okay?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, God continues the picture. My purpose in saying this is this. You need to read Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, because it is the picture of the family. It is picture both of the purpose of the family, the problems of the family, and the promise of the family. You find that all right there. In chapter 4, he's not done with the family yet, because what does he have? Offspring.
Yeah, here they come.
Here they come. And this has been his plan all along, because Genesis 1.
How
are you going to be fruitful if there's no fruit coming from? Yeah. So here's the fruit coming. And I love the order of this, Genesis 1, two. We have three. You got the fall there, but then you have the birth. I think it's God just saying, Satan, hey, yeah, you may have fooled him, but you didn't fool me. My plan is still coming to be.
Yeah, he had just told Satan at the end of verse 3 about Satan's seed versus woman's seed.
Right.
And he had
right.
prophesied that there would be seed that comes forth, and it's going to ultimately come to your demise, Satan. But he had God's order was that it was happening. It was going to happen.
Amen.
Here comes the offspring.
And that prophecy, hey, that is the healing. We're going to get to that. That is the healing of the cracks in our home.
Amen.
That is the healing of the cracks in our culture. That is the writing of the foundation, is that promised seed that we know it comes through Jesus Christ,
yep.
the very Son of God. So look at the order, though. We don't have a lot of details as far as what happened in the home of Adam and Eve, Mr. and Miss Adam. All it says is she conceived in chapter 4, bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man. Then she bore again, this time brother Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to talk about this event. Now notice it's an event. They're bringing an offering of worship
mm-hmm.
to God. We don't know what happened. We don't know what was it like when Cain was in the terrible twos. Was it really terrible, since we see him as an older man here? Possibly.
Yeah.
We don't know. Was he just the quiet young man sitting over in the corner, just waited for his mom to ask him to do something? We don't know. We don't get to look in their home, but we do see some things. We do see a little bit of teaching that took place in their home.
Right.
Because the first account and the event of their life, the reason why they're put in God's story is because they were taught, hey, we owe God.
Mm-hmm.
We come and love God. We serve God. We worship God. And we can talk about the story later on in chapter 4. Both of them didn't see it the same way. They didn't bring the right thing, what God intended. But we get a glimpse into that home. We
yeah.
get a glimpse in there. Adam and Eve at some point in time had taught them, this is the way. This is the way we approach this God. This is how we honor him. This is how we show our love
yeah,
through our worship.
Sacrifice of worship.
So going back to those roles, the man, the head, the woman or the wife, the helper, and the family is completed because God puts one more role in there, children.
Mm-hmm.
The term has come up, offspring, to come off of. In the very beginning, when God created, he created man in his image. But something changed in chapter 3.
Yeah.
And you and I've talked about this, the doctrine we have here of the image of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
If you will, turn to chapter 5. You got to see this. You got to read this because the family is going to be forever changed. The family has been forever changed. We just read about it right here in the text. In Genesis 5, it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. We saw that, Genesis 1. But now listen to this. He created the male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day we're created. Verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his, that's lowercase,
right,
in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth.
Huge.
Something
Huge.
Changed.
Yeah.
The core plan, the core purpose of family changed because, as you alluded to previously, that God had destined them for relationship. God, going back to those three, that they were to replicate his image. But now Adam has not replicated the image of God, but Adam has replicated Adam.
Yeah.
Another man. Very much need right here. You need to go back and you need to listen to the segment on the divine nature and the sinful nature.
Yeah.
The origin of that, because it's right here, is it not?
That's exactly what this is pointing out. We talk about the original intent. And let me just break it down because I don't want people to miss this.
Yeah.
Especially dads. When God gave this to me and showed me the import of the role of the father, it just changed something to me as a father. The idea was that God's original intent was that the spiritual nature that that Adam was created with, that divine nature, that Adam would be the conduit to pass that to
yes.
his offspring.
Yes.
And that would travel on for generation after generation, and we would maintain perfect God consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids would know God the same way Adam did,
mm-hmm.
in other words.
Wow.
But when Adam fell and the Holy Spirit had to depart because of the presence of willful sin, another spiritual nature took the place, because man will always have a spiritual nature that
right.
that oversees and governs his physical, his humanity.
Right.
And that sin nature came. So the conduit didn't change.
No.
Adam was still going to bear a son. But the nature changed.
Yes, it did.
And because of that, what was God's image stamped on Adam in the beginning, and it was good, became Adam's image passed to Seth and to Cain and to Abel, which brought flaws and cracks in every generation.
Over and over and over again. Genesis 6, the flood story.
Yeah.
And the key verse in that, in the thoughts of man were only wicked continually. That's what that sinful nature did. As that image of man was replicated, the home after home, crack after crack, just began expanding. Even when God wiped out and Noah's, he passes the same thing on to Noah's family. They told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth,
right.
Fill it. What do we find in chapter 11? We find, again, cracks, rebellion against God.
Yeah.
As where men gather together, said, let's make us a name for ourselves, the Tower of Babel. Then God, once again in unity, comes down and says, no, this is not the plan. This is not how I'm going to replicate my image across the whole earth.
And would you say, I want to just pull it to today, and let's get practical.
Let's do it.
With our families, as we're kind of coming to the end of this segment again. Every generation brings more cracks. Mm. And we begin to see we look at the generation of World War I, World War II. They call it the Great Generation of America.
Right.
America's greatest generation. And even from that, not too long ago, every generation comes along and we fall as a people.
Right.
Further away from the original intent of God, more cracks, till you get to a place where it seems that the foundation or the sidewalk isn't even usable anymore.
It's amazing how much time we'll focus on looking at the cracks instead of the problem. We talk a lot in our culture and even in our churches about children. You notice we haven't got really into children and their role,
yeah,
their responsibility. We've dealt with the parents. Parents out there, listen, it is so important for the foundation of the family that you be unified, that you, the husband, lead. Read Ephesians 5. We're going to get to it later on, hopefully. You read Ephesians 5, and Christ says, hey, you be me in the home.
Yeah.
You be the head of that family. You live and you love through sacrifice. You be the satisfier, the sanctifier of that family. You be the savior in that home. You represent me.
You be your wife, pastor.
That's right. And wife. You be the nurturer. You be the helpmate. You be the completion of what God put together, that laminate and that table, because that is what our families need today. They need a unified front. We've got that in the head. We've got that in God. We need that in our parents.
Amen. Come back next week. Will you come back one more time?
Let's do it.
Keep seeking the truth, guys. We love you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.